A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Thank you for joining your number one talk radio station. That is Eagle FM. And very good morning to you wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. So my name is Michael Chiavelli. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So it's a Thursday morning. We're almost at the end. We're heading towards the end of the week. So thanks for joining us, and thanks for making sure you have chosen, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM this morning to be in your company. It's always our pleasure. It's always our pleasure to be in your company every morning. Make sure that you make that choice every morning. And thanks to David and for early morning scoop. All right, our time, it's about 36 minutes past the hour of 7. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. This is your daily show from 7:30 until the hour of 9:30. So welcome on board. So yes, Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So the show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, a business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It's about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspective on the topic that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you. And welcome to this episode of Unpacking the Day. So this is Eagle FM, if you are joining us for the first time. So yes, let's get into our first segment. Our first segment is on this day in Africa, what happened? What are the significant events that happened in Africa on this very day? On the 10th of July in 1975, a ceasefire mediated by the Organization of African Unity, ended the conflict between Upper Volta. The Upper Volta was, it's now a country, Burkina Faso. So ended the conflict between, the Upper Volta, now Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. So on the very same day, the 10th of July in 1976, following the Rwanda trial, four mercenaries, one American and three British, were executed in Angola, an event signifying post-colonial tensions. And the 10th of July in 1991, South Africa was reinstated in the International Cricket Council, marking its re-entry into global sport after apartheid. And the very same day, the 10th of July, 1915, during the First World War, a British and South African troop invaded the German Southwest Africa. Currently, which is present-day Namibia. This was a pivotal moment in Namibia's colonial history, eventually leading to South Africa's rule over the territory. So, yes, that's all what we have for you in this day, on this day in Africa. Those are some of the significant historic events that happened on this day, on the 10th of July, in the history of Africa. So 10th of July, Thursday, what is The thought for the day. What is our thought for the day? A large chair does not make a king. A large chair does not make a king. That's our thought of the day. So the proverb means that holding a prestigious, you know, position possessing a symbol of power, it doesn't automatically make someone a capable leader. Just because you sit in a grand chair or occupy an impressive office, it doesn't mean you have the wisdom, integrity, or skills needed to lead effectively. So the true leadership shows itself through action, not just status. Now, this proverb warns against mistaking now titles or outward symbols of power for actual competence. So the large chair, it does not make a king. So, I hope that, hope you're not in that position as a leader where you boast about your office and the large chair and, the high chair that you occupy. So are you competent enough, to be a leader? Are you a capable leader? And every one of us are a leader wherever you find yourself. Wherever you find yourself, don't just look at the people that, that are in the position that are your supervisors or managers or something. Even wherever you are as an individual, whatever you do, you are a leader. Take responsibility. So, yeah, that's what our thought for the day today. So a large chair does not make a king. So be capable leader. So it shouldn't be your titles and those prestigious position and titles that you have. So you must be competent enough to be a leader. That's the thought for the day, and hopefully that's helped you to make choices and decisions as you go throughout the day today. So good morning to you and welcome. And if you're just joining us, your thought for the day today, a large chair does not make a king. All right. So yes, as I said, you are on Eagle FM and if you are in areas where you cannot listen through our frequencies, so you can still stay connected to Eagle FM by just downloading Eagle FM Eagle FM mobile app through Google Play or Play Store, and that would make you still be connected to Eagle FM. So wherever you find yourself, especially those, people like me on the go all the time, so would actually prefer to have, the app and listen to Eagle FM or to my favorite other shows, beside Unpacking the Day, to my favorite other shows when I'm not able to catch any frequency in those areas. All right. So, and also listen to Eagle FM through the website. Maybe you're sitting in the office. You can also go to your website. Tell your friend. Maybe you're listening through the app and your friend kind of like, I can't hear Eagle FM anymore, whatever. Nah, just tell him, man, get the app. It's Eagle FM app. Or just go to website and you can be able to listen to your favorite show. All right. So and also, please do follow us. To follow Eagle FM and The Villager on our platform, on our social platform. X, you can follow us on X, you can follow us on LinkedIn, you can follow us on Instagram, on Facebook. So all the social media, once you Eagle FM, once you just put in Eagle FM, so definitely you'll be able to get to that platform. So, and while you are there, So while you are there, engage with us on those social media, Make sure that you leave a comment, on, because we're really, really, really active on our social media. It's one of the most active, platform, in the country. So make sure that you leave a comment, or a like, or just that beautiful heart. We would appreciate that, and we would like to hear from you. And also, we on Monday, every Monday, Wednesday and Friday, we publish our sister e-magazines, that is The Villager. So, and if you're looking for those for the latest business or economic news, you know, get yourself a free copy of The Villager. That comes every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So all what you need to do, if this is your first time actually coming up here, joining us here on Eagle FM. So what we do, that's very simple, and probably asking, how do I do that? I said it's very free. It's very, very free. By simply sending you, what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message with your name and an email, and to 081-200-4144. Okay, I will repeat that, and take a pen and paper. If you know, some of us are getting old, we can't remember this anymore. So 081-200-4144, and make sure that you save that number as a contact. Yeah. So, and well, you could be a business person, businessman or woman. You want to advertise your business or an event, or you want to have your event, show, function or workshop or conference, whatever. It doesn't matter. So you want to expose your event or function or show in real live streaming or broadcasting. So you can also contact us, and that you do it with office, with our office, and that is don't call the studio. You do it with our office. Our telephone number to do that is 083-288-4000. 083-288-4000. So once you do that, I know you will leave you know, the ladies and that will talk to you. They will leave you smiles. They are very nice and soft, you know. So make sure that you head up to that number, if you would like to have your business. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're SME, you're a small business, and you just, what are your event or whatever the case may be, or event or function or workshop, be exposed to a larger public. So just do that and you will be help. Don't think that, oh no, maybe that's too, you know, maybe I'm not one of those who fit to do that. You actually, everyone is welcome. So, all right. So, yeah, welcome to this episode of Unpacking the Day. So we will be back, and stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM,
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Inbox? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Inba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Inba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace,
I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Exactly, that's what I told you. Don't worry. What you need to do is just to contact us and your worries will be, you know. All right. So welcome back and thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day and it's Thursday, the 10th of July, and the year is 2025. So yeah, yesterday, July the 9th, 2025, the Indian Prime Minister, Narendra Modi made a historical visit to Namibia, and that it's marking it has actually marking the first and that has it was for such a that's a such a historical event marking the first such visit by an Indian leader in nearly 3 decades, you know, in nearly 30 years. So this visit, part of Modi's five nation African tour, celebrated 35 years of diplomatic relations between India and Namibia. So it was hosted by our president Netumbo Dempelela Nandi Ndaitwa in Windhoek in the capital. So the visit actually focused on economic and political ties under the theme of mutual respect and shared democratic values. So for us, for you and me, a regular, you know, Namibian, I think where we look at this kind of visit or partnership, with hope that maybe, you know, maybe or just maybe, you know, bring us some hope for jobs, you know, as was listening to David saying that, you know, many of our young youth, and this is it's a song that everybody sings, not only what he says, many of our youth are in the street, and that's a hope that we're looking for, hope for jobs. Hope for a better healthcare, because there has been also a discussion on those. We're going to look at some of the key issues. Modern technology, you know, India is known for her advance in technology. So hope for those, but as always, we always have that but. It also raises questions about how we, because these people are coming for our resources. So they are coming for our resources. It always raises the question about how we need to manage our resources, and taking in consideration the global influence. Okay. These are global powers and they want to have an influence. And, of course, we need that questions, how we should actually manage our resources. It's very, very important. So, yeah, let's look at the key issues, discussed yesterday, some of the key issues that came up yesterday. And I'm inviting you specifically to put on your thinking cap, as we analyze what are some of these things really mean, for Namibia. So that's why we do here. We want to unpack, go a little bit deeper, on some of the things that coming out, yesterday. So, please, I do invite you, put on that thinking cap, as we highlight what is the significance of this visit? How important is it? How important is it to Namibia? Because things happen in this kind of deals get signed, agreement get in place, you get some agreement in place. So many things happen. So it's really, really, really important to understand. So what are the key issues? Some of the key issues that comes out of yesterday's meetings and yesterday's discussions. So one of that is trade. There's trade and investment. Of course, in Namibia and India already have a strong economic relationship. We have already an economic relationship with bilateral trade from last year, reaching approximately 814 million, that is in 2023 to 2024. So, that's 814 million, that's US dollar. So Indian investment estimated at nearly 800 million, are primarily in the mining sector. Including zinc and diamond, and this is also significant. It's very significant for Namibia, where mining counts for about 10% of our GDP, particularly in the Rongo region, which is home to major uranium and diamond operations, and this is what India or India is after. Is what India is also after. So the visit highlighted opportunity now to expand cooperation in mining, in agriculture, in pharmaceutical. What he also said in defense, and also definitely in human capital development. So, and of course, increased Indian investment could lead to jobs, to more jobs. So we have already that bilateral relationship, and there are already corporations. So, but if we increase that investment, we, as I said, we hope that it leads to more jobs. In mining communities where they are mining, because the interest is actually in mining, and that really would really boost local businesses. So it's all good. However, as we have to make, we also have to make sure, as I said earlier, we have to make sure that this investment, And this is very important at this point in time. We have things that the world wants. Eh? So we have really resources that the world look after. They want those resources. We are one of the country that seek after because of our resources. So, but what we have to do then, what our leaders have to do, it's really to make sure that this investment, whatever investment, sometime we could be, and it happens to many developing countries, not only Africa, but developing countries. We are so hungry and we take anything that comes. So, we have to make sure that this investment lead to, sustainable development and not just short-term gains. Because otherwise we will put the future of our generation or future generation, really in jeopardy. So we have to make sure that these investment lead to sustainable development and not just short terms gains. So we will continue after this commercial break.
titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Very good morning. If you're just joining us, this is the Eye. This is Eagle FM. We see you. We hear you. And we're here. So, welcome. This is Eagle FM. And you are on Unpacking the Day. So, as I was saying earlier, you know, the Prime Minister Modi didn't just woke up, and their government didn't just woke up and said, aha, let's go to Namibia. No. They didn't just wake up and decided, okay, we go to Namibia. You must go and visit Namibia. This is strategic. So it's strategic. Namibia is Africa, Africa's largest uranium producer. We are the largest producer in Africa and the world, and we are in the world, I think third largest overall. So the world, third in the world. So with significant reserve of lithium, cobalt, and rare earth elements. So, yeah, if you have those, definitely you will get some visit from some important or powerful nations. So these minerals are vital for India's ambition in electric vehicles, battery storage and nuclear energy as part of its clean energy transition. So all this, you know, all these nations want to transition to a clean energy. And where do you find, you know, reserves? Where do you find these reserves? Of course, in Namibia. So, the lithium, the cobalt, and other elements. So, where do you find them? You find them in Namibia. So that's why we become, you know, a country that most these powerful nations are coming to. So, now during Modi's visit, as is it likely to include now long-term uranium supply agreement. That's what the papers and the news are saying. So it's likely it's to include long-term uranium supply agreement to support now India's civilian nuclear power capacity. So we become the supplier of their nuclear power capacity. And yesterday when we were talking about nuclear power plant in Namibia, and what it takes, what would the benefit, and we talk about the small modular reactor as a possibility. Yeah, no, we looked at that. That's a possibility in Africa, and there's a grow, there's a momentum of even IMF and the UN looking at that seriously as a solution now for energy in Africa. So because the need for electricity will double in 2035. So there's a serious looking at that. And And as I said, we one of the country that produces that in Africa. We are number one, third in the world. So, but we become, this is now the thing what I'm talking about, you know, that we have to be very careful that we don't just become the producer, and vache oshike enotolarium ongpatio mafuma, you know. Yeah, so we shouldn't be just producing and then locally we are actually we can't produce. I mean, we can't we don't have enough energy for that matter, you know, or for our own development and our own supplies for businesses and home households. So yeah. So yeah, no. So that there will be an agreement in terms of a long-term agreement, probably in terms of uranium supply to India for their civilian nuclear power capacity. So it's important that we emphasize that, you know, civilian nuclear power capacity. So when you just mentioned that, you might be people thinking that you might be talking about, you know, some nuclear power that. that would, you know, help to, what do they say? To, what is the word that used to, why was Iran is bombed? You know, it's because they have the what? The capacity to, what is the word? Ah, man, it's a Thursday morning. All right. Yeah, for us, for Namibia, really, this interest in our minerals could mean more investment in mining infrastructure. It also could mean a technology transfer, as that's a need, and that's also what the president have said. And as I said, this could create jobs for our young people that we are desperately need. So yeah, but the critical situation for us is that we need at this point in time, really, we need to negotiate deals that prioritize local benefits. So that's really, really, really important. We are at that point where that becomes really critical. So we need to negotiate deals that prioritize local benefits, like training program, community development. So we should actually avoid those repeating the past mistakes where foreign companies extract resources without giving back. We have so many companies, especially from these countries, you know, who are extracting resources in our country without really giving back. And that's why we have all these problems that we have. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, and if there are leaders there that are listening, that you're listening to Eagle FM right now, that you're listening to me, we need to negotiate deals that prioritize local benefits. So that should register in our head. When you are on those tables discussing, don't just get a brown envelope under the table, and then you forget the rest of the nation, and you sell away our resources. Okay, so I'm talking to you. So negotiate deal that prioritizes local benefits, because there are opportunities here. It's only depending on how we negotiate those deals. So there's also the whole question of diamond, a direct diamond trade, you know, because Namibia is, as we know, we are home. It's a home to the world's richest marine diamond deposits. Okay. Which is estimated at over 8 million carats. So currently, Now, these diamonds are, when it comes to India, so these diamonds are routed through global trade hubs like London and Antwerp. So before actually reaching India, so the world, and this is the world, India is the world's largest diamond polishing industry. So now, Modi's visit now is seen to spark discussion about direct diamond trade, so which could then bypass those intermediaries, London and Antwerp, you know, this hubs that where now, that's where it goes through before it gets to India. So, and for us, as and for us, direct trade with India when it comes to diamond, that could increase our revenues by cutting out those middlemen. So that would be a good thing. So, yeah, much more like a farmer selling directly to a customer at a market rather than, you know, those middlemen always make things more expensive. Yeah, and for India, it ensures a more efficient supply chain, you know, so rather than what is happening now. So India diamond processing companies already operate in Namibia, and strengthening this partnership actually could just boost our economy. And it's time now. It is time now that we see real changes for this trading, you know, through this trading. So we must ensure that local workers, you know, local businesses, our SMEs, local business benefit. I'm keep saying this because and this is what we need. This is what we need to bang on all the time. We need to bang on all the time. So local workers, local businesses must really benefit from these deals, not just foreign investors. So you have foreign investors coming in here, and we all left with scrapping with the leftovers. Okay, with the leftovers. So, yeah, this is when you look at the economic aspect, there are bilateral trade and the current status between Namibia and India. So the bilateral trade is worth of $814 million. Million US, that this is between 2023 to 2024. And then the impact of that, it has really a potential of more jobs, with the negotiation that is going on and of course, economic growth. So we're hoping for investment. There has been an investment, also from India, $800 million, mostly in mining, US dollar, $800 million, $800 million. Hey, what I'm saying, $800 million US dollar. Yeah. So, and that has mostly, it has been in mining. So we hope, you know, in the future, there will be more, infrastructure development, more job creations. So, yeah, we talked about critical minerals, the uranium, lithium, the rare earth elements. So yeah, investment in those, as the minister is here. So there will be an investment. We hope that in the future then there will be also technology transfer. So, but what we need fair deals. The need is that to have a really, really fair deals when it comes to investment. Yeah, we'd also, the diamond trade, as we said, via London and Antwerp, maybe if we have a direct, you know, trade, that would actually increase our revenues, if we have that direct trade with India. So those are things that, being possibly being discussed. There are also other, other aspects as well that we will look into. So you are also most welcome to come through as we continue. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So what is your take of the visit of the Prime Minister? So what do you think of this type of visit? Are they worth it? Do they bring any changes in terms of bilateral relationship and also in terms of trade relationship? Do we normally see any changes? Does that change if they even had agreement and trade agreement and so? Do you see any changes in your local communities? Are these trade relationships and maybe investments that comes in, do you see any difference so far in your local communities? Are there any impact at all? And given where we are today, really, there's an increase of unemployment, instead of hearing this company, it's hiring and this is hiring, we actually hear these companies, it's retrenching. So those are not good news, and those are not, we need more investment. Definitely we need more investment, and probably having a higher ranking official, the Prime Minister of India. So that's really, that's big. And let's make use of that. So, yeah. And then there was, when I was coming, I'm hearing, I didn't read the paper, but sorry for that. I didn't read the paper, but I hear that, you know, there was an advertisement for a cleaner, just a cleaner. I don't know whether it's part of the, I forget which area. But about 500 application already, you know, were submitted just for one post for a cleaner. You can see where the situation, and you probably in those applications, you might have much of them could be very qualified professionals that are on the street, teachers, nurses, and whatever. So you won't be surprised that those are the people that are applying for this. I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah. That's what it is. It is what it is. So, and we need, and that's why I'm emphasizing that whatever deals that we are agreeing to come, in different sectors, from India, let those deals really sit in a way that it benefits our people, all right? There is also a unified payment, interoperability. It's a technology, a major highlight of this visit was the signing of that technology agreement between the Bank of Namibia and India National Payment Corporation, NPCI, so to develop a unified payment interface, UP-like system, you know. So the UP launched in India in 2016 enables instant interbank transaction via mobile devices, so handling over about 117 billion transactions in 2023. So this system could modernize Namibia's financial ecosystem, improving also accessibility and also affordability. So now, for us and for Namibia, this means easier and safer transactions. And this could reduce reliance on cash, especially for people that are in the rural. If you're doing business and you are in the rural, where you can receive payment instantly via your phone. Say, for example, you are a farmer in a nana, and when you come to sell your stuff, that, you know, if you have this kind of technology, you just get instantly, you get your money via your phone, lower transaction costs. So I'm just saying what this is all about. So boosting also digital entrepreneurship. So especially for young people and for women. So because those, the reason of this kind of technology is targeting youth and women. So the partnership, it aims to enhance that financial inclusion, ensuring remote areas or underserved communities like those in rural areas have a better access to financial services. So that's basically, yeah. So this is what we hear, but sometimes, and that's why I ask the questions, do you see this impact in your community? So we need to see this, you know, impact in our community. And sometimes what we hear is so good. It sounds so good in our ears. And the plans are so good when you hear them. This is what we're going to do. It's for the poor, for the underserved, you know, communities, marginalized communities and all that. You wait and wait and wait, and you're still waiting. And you ask yourself, where does all that money went? When does the technology start to work? And, you know, so you start asking questions because you don't hear anything anymore. All right? So if you want to come through, you can do that as well. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. We're talking about the visit of the Prime Minister Modi, the Indian Prime Minister, here in Namibia, highlighting some of the key issues that come out of the meeting yesterday, and also that are being highlighted as part of the Prime Minister's visit to Namibia. So, and we're looking at how does that actually benefit Namibia. And you're welcome now to come through. You're also welcome to come through and contribute to the show, or have your reaction or your take of this visit of the Prime Minister of India to Namibia. So, 08-111, 08-333-6601, 08-333-6601. So, yeah, and then there was also a talk of a pharmaceutical manufacturing center, or hub, if you like. So India proposed establishing a pharmaceutical manufacturing facility in Namibia under its Pharmacy of the World initiative. So it has this initiative, Pharmacy of the World. So under that, they would like to then establish. A pharmaceutical manufacturing facility in Namibia. So, and President Nandi Ndaitwah welcomed this, noting it would enhance regional health security and strengthen domestic production capacity. The facility could produce essential medicine.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend.
All right, welcome back. So yeah, we were talking about the proposed the proposed to establish the pharmaceutical manufacturing facility in Namibia. So, and I was saying that the president, Nandi Ndaitwah, welcomed this, also saying that this, it would enhance, regional health security and also strengthen, domestic production capacity of medicine. So this facility could produce essential medicines locally. It's good to have those kind of manufacturing initiatives would reduce definitely cost and improving access, especially to especially during health crisis. You remember during the COVID-19, so we have to wait for medicines for medicines from somewhere, and it created some crisis. So yeah, I think during those health crises, it would actually, a facility like that would actually help for us. This could mean more. It also could mean more affordable medicines, and also definitely when you are constructing that facilities, there will be more job opportunities. And also when during the operation, then you have to employ people, and maintenance of the facilities. So then there will be new jobs, opportunities, in manufacturing and research. So because then this facility would also, function as a research center, I believe. So that's what medicines manufacturing center is all about. So they do part of that is actually do some researches as well. Yeah. So yeah, it's an opportunity as well for a new job. It's for employment as well. That's why I said, this visit is very, 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 very important. And if there are deals that we need to sign, we just have to make sure that, they benefit local workers and businesses. It's also aligned perfectly with Namibian goal, on our goal of building a resilient health sectors, which actually our minister is trying to establish. So yeah. So let me see who is knocking on my door. Lost you. Please do come back. So we just lost you. So as I said, this aligns definitely with Namibian goal of building a resilient health sector. But in terms of now the pharmaceutical, the details, like the facilities location and job creation potential are still not being finalized, but probably in the due course we will be able to know that as well. So yeah, do come through. You were coming through, and then we just lost you. Our telephone number again, for those if you're just listening for the first time, because we say this 100 times. So it's 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So we're talking about the visit of Prime Minister of India to Namibia and some issues that that are being highlighted that comes out of the initial meetings and yesterday, and also through his address to to the parliament. So, yeah. So what is your take? What we're asking is what is your reaction to such a visit? Remember, as I said at the beginning, these visits are not innocent, and the Prime Minister didn't just woke up one day and said, oh, look, I love Namibia. Let me go have a sunshine in Namibia and see the mountains, not the mountain, and see the dunes and desert, you know. I love Namibia. No. It's diplomatic. It's very strategic. Not diplomatic. It's very strategic. It's because of their own needs that they are here. And that's why I'm saying we also have the need to, it's a time to be wake up a little bit. It's time for us to wake up as well. And because we know we have something that the world need. We are in the position of power. We are in the position of power. We know that these powerful nations need much some of these resources that we have in our country. So we are in the position of power. We can demand. It's like, hey, this is how much it costs. If you don't want, man, we can see your back, you know. So we're not begging you. So we should be in the position where we're begging. We are in the position of power. We should be able to determine the condition and terms of how we want the deals to go. So that it benefits our people, our businesses, our youth, our women, you know. So we should understand that. Most of, sometimes we kind of like, we are beggars, we're in the position of kind of like we are being, it's a favor for us. No, it's not a favor. We are in the position of strength, and we can demand what we want. Yeah. So the other thing also is there were also discussion on entrepreneurship, innovation, and innovation. So the visit also included plans for a Namibia India Entrepreneurship Development Center to promote youth and women-led innovation. A center like that could actually really drive economic growth, I think, and reduce poverty. If a center like that could drive poverty reduction, because it's also aligning with Namibia's development goals. I think that's also something that has been part of the discussion. So, yeah. So, but what we need really to understand, let me get into this now. So, more really, I think the global context and the challenge that is happening. So, and also the competition. What I mean the global context, I think the competition of resources. So, India's reaching out to Namibia is part of a broader global competition for Africa's resources. This is actually part of a. As I said, the Prime Minister didn't just woke up and love Namibia, comes here. No, this is part of a broader global competition for Africa's resources. So major powers like China, United States, the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia are also seeking critical minerals to support their energy transition and technology sector. So Namibia is of strategic importance. We are of a strategic importance with our vast uranium and lithium reserves. So that makes it a key player in this race. We become a key player in this race of this powerful of this competition. Make no mistakes. This, as I said, India's reaching out to Namibia is strategic. So in this competition, you know, for us then, this competition, it's an opportunity. It's opportunity for investment, opportunity for partnership, but also, it could be also a risk. Eh? It could be also a risk. So without really careful negotiation, and this is what I'm saying, without really careful negotiation, Namibia could face exploitative deals. We can face exploitative deals that prioritize foreign interests over local benefits. And that's why I've been saying we have to be, we are in the position of power. So, and it's, this is an opportunity to negotiate deals that prioritize our benefit, because we are in the position of power. So look, I mean, we, and sometimes when we say this, we can, we have example. We have the, say for example, we have the Hassop uranium mine. Eh? Who owns it? It's owned by a Chinese subsidiary. So, it's one of the world's largest, but question remain. The question remains, how much of what comes out there, how much of what comes of this, of that has a uranium, how much of wealth stays in Namibia that comes out there? How much of wealth that comes out of that mine stays in Namibia? So that's why we said our leaders must ensure that partnership with India and with others, not only India, must include technology transfer, must include local employment, and most important, must include environmental protections. Because sometimes they can just leave this, you know, deposit into our, this our chemical deposit into Namibia that would be detrimental to our environment. So that's why when we say this, it's because we have examples of other initiatives that really don't benefit much Namibia, that it doesn't contribute much to our wealth. Yeah. So the other thing maybe the president has said, President Ndaito said, she emphasized the need for reform, multilateral institutions, particularly the UN Security Council, to better reflect the global realities. So she really emphasized that, you know, that the UN Security Council must reflect the global realities. So the current structure with 5 permanent members, these are China, France, Russia, UK, and United States. So, and no permanent African representation, it's seen as outdated. It's outdated. So, now, Namibia now, alongside other global South nations, support adding permanent seat for Africa to ensure its voice is heard on issues like climate change, poverty, and security. So that is about time. Yeah. So this is about fairness. It's about fairness. Reform could amplify our influence. So when you have someone sitting on the table, you have some kind of influence. They must also get the veto. Yeah? So ensuring that, so when you have somebody on the table that you will have influence, you can now able to ensure that global policy align with your needs. Yeah? So because you're on the table. So, and that's what our president actually is pushing, that, Africa must have a representation on the United Security Council. And we, along other global South nations, we support the adding permanent seat for Africa. Yeah. So, All right. So that's also something that the president have taken. What do you think? What do we really, you know, even having a seat, would that make a difference for you? Do you think that would make a difference for Africa? Do you think that we would have influence at all, even if we have a seat on the table? Yeah. So come through. Our telephone number again, 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So, the global issue is resources. As I said earlier that, you know, this is strategic. It's strategic for India to partner, due to, you know, to their own needs. Okay. But the implication is that this is an opportunity for investment. But there's also that risk of exploitations that we should be worried about. And we should understand this is a competition for minerals. It's a competition for minerals. And that's why, you know, some of these powerful nations are reaching out to Namibia. So, and because of that, there's that risk of exploitation, as I said. And lastly, as I said, UN reform, where we advocate for Global South representation. So we want to have that stronger voice in a global governance. So those are some of the things, that comes out and that I feel that maybe are worth the looking into, understanding, this kind of visit and also things that are being said. Underneath the things that are said, there are situations, there are contexts, and this is what we try to bring you. Under the things that people say, under the visit, you know, you sometimes you just understand, oh, India is actually visiting us, and then this is what it's promising to do. What is the context? So what are the situations in their own country that pushes them to come here? So, and those are sometimes this is what you're trying to, you know, on radio like this, on a program like this, this is what we unpacking, trying to help you understand what is going on, and deals happen in this kind of visit, and as I said, deal happen in this kind of visit. So why this is actually then why would this matter? Why this matter to us as Namibians, as you, an ordinary somebody sitting at home listening to me? So the deal happened. As I said, deal happened in this kind of visit. They are not just diplomatic event. It is a chance to shape Namibia's future. It is a chance. But it's who do you have sitting on the table? Guys, we should always have competent. We see what is happening. You see what is happening. We see what is happening. You see what happened with Air Namibia. So where is Air Namibia? You see what is happening now with Midco. You see what is happening with Namcor. We see happening what is Transnamib. Guys, so we need, and others. I'm just mentioning a few. For some reasons, I don't know what kind of mentality that we stuck into. So we're talking about India. So that just popped in my head as well. Just to what I'm saying, that there's a chance to shape Namibia's future, but you need to have, people on the table that are competent enough to make sure that happened. The economic partnership could bring the job we need. And it's there to be done. It's there to be done. Improve our healthcare in rural clinics and bring a real economic impact to our communities. It's there to be done. Okay? So, but we must remain vigilant. As the former president used to say, the founding father, we must remain vigilant. Okay? So that we must remain vigilant, because global competition for our resources mean we need strong leadership. So there is a stronger competition for our resources So that means that we need a strong leadership to negotiate fair deals for us. Otherwise, you know, we see what happened already. We have mines that don't belong to us. When we say don't belong to us, if we only have a 10% share or 20% share, it doesn't belong to you in your own country. So that resources doesn't belong to you in your own country. And actually, that's what the former president was talking about. And everybody goes up like, yeah, no, these things are not. It is true. They don't. They don't belong to us. If a foreign investment come, if a foreign investor holds 90% or 80% of share of that resources, is that belong to you? You don't make decision to it, you know? So that's what we're talking about. There is a competition for our resources, and what we need really, we need now people that think differently. We need people that are strong, a strong leadership, that are knowledgeable, that are competent to negotiate a fair deal for our nation, for our people, because otherwise unemployment will just skyrocketing. Okay? So this is the resources that need to change that. So it also reminds us to hold, and this is very important, it's also reminding us to hold our leader accountable to ensure this partnership benefit all Namibians, not just a few, as most often is the case, is the only the few that actually benefit, rather the general public, the ordinary you and me, you know, Namibians. So basically, the Prime Minister Modi's visit to Namibia opened a new chapter in our relationship with India. It is a chance to leverage our mineral wealth, embrace new technologies that come with that, and strengthen our global voice, because we also want to strengthen our global voice. And so this could mean more jobs, more investment, definitely more job, better healthcare, and a strong economy. And that's what we want. So, but we must be ensured this benefit reach every corner of our country, from the street of Windhoek to the village of Ohangwena. Okay? That's what we want to see. And let's stay informed. Hold our leaders accountable and work together to build a prosperous and sustainable Namibia. So our time is about 47 minutes past the hour of 8, and we were looking at Prime Minister Modi's visit to Namibia and the key issues that's coming through his visit, and looking at that in more depth. So, what is your take? What do you think? What do you think of the Prime Minister Modi's visit to Namibia? As I said, many other visits or any other bilateral or any other agreement that are done, do you see, do you feel the impact in your community? So if not, what need to be done? Because there's an opportunity here. There is an opportunity here. To grow. All right. Give us a call. Give us your opinion. This is your show. Our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66099. Have your opinion heard and contribute to the well-being of this country by definitely coming through and have your opinion heard.
Omutiha with the Trotabuna e Matina Omjo. Chicago Safa Nana Longishifa Yai Shikemoshiwana. E Moyawa or Tango Samani. Anagashifa Yanamibia on the Tombanawa or Shika. Faithanina Omaguro Nidanitoma Ye Longishifa Kupitiramo Igelefem Media House. We 22 Nomeha Uka Kombanga Nina. para un cuasi fregui y lo podio mo programa de tu mo ambo de la soma con la gente activo la tenga tu jeari jamano tano o un viaje y que lo fem so ay.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
I. A very good morning. How are you doing? And it's looked like the cold has actually subsided a bit. Over the weekend, I think in some part of the country was really horrible. You all need to move this side. Well, during winter, actually. So summer is horrible, horrible hot. but for this, you go throughout, you know, when you're in part of this world, you go throughout the winter without really recognizing your winter. Because you kind of like, is that all? You know, when you come to the end, you're now getting into August. We're now in July, and sooner you get into August. And then, you know, the weather changes, maybe like started now so much wind and all that, but it's not that cold anymore. You're kind of like, when was winter actually? It's like, it was just a few weeks that you just felt it was a bit cold. And, like now, it's not really cold. It's cold in the morning, not that cold. It's cool. How would I call it? I wouldn't even call it cold. Yeah, it's that nice weather in the morning. We'll call it nice weather. So, but then during the day, it could be horribly hot. It's hot. So, and you can see that the weather has completely changed. Those who, don't believe in global, global warming, please go to your witch doctors and sangomas and find out why the weather is not the same anymore. So give us some, you know, some what are they saying? What are your sangoma and witch doctors saying why the weather is not the same anymore? Okay. All right. So no, thanks for joining us. Welcome to Unpacking the Day, and we're looking at. India's Prime Minister's visit to Namibia, and there are issues that has been, you know, we were looking at, see how this visit actually benefit us, and how that could be also those visits that comes and goes, and nothing really happens, and. Also, how we can then make sure that, you know, if there are investment that are coming, let's do it differently. Because the most important things that we have to understand is that we are in the position of strength here. You know, I talked about that we are the one with the resources that these global power nations want for their own, whatever, for their own needs, whether it's energy needs, whether it's other needs as well. So it's us who have the resources. So we should be in the position where now we can make use of that strength that we have. So yeah, we look at some of the bilateral, normally bilateral agreements that we have already with China's and with India's and the relationship that we already have and how that, can be improved and part of the discussions and negotiations that are going on, with this visit. So yes, what is your take? What is your opinion of this visit? Not necessarily the things that I said, or your reaction to what I said. So you're most welcome. 08-333-66-091. That's a number you can call.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-36.
Surely, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Omutiha with the Kirokabuna e Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafasa na Nana Longishifa ya Shuike Moshiwana. Iye moyawo otainga boti samweni. Ana geshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seisanina omayaguro ni randitoma ye yongeshifa yoyo kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende tuinoneha uyo kakombanga nina. Kara omukashi pareki uimepo yu moe programa detu. Moambo lengira seoma kodaraje takimu. Natunda tu heari jamano tano kawandiyaji. Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on a tweet.
All right, welcome back. And our time is about a few seconds to 9 o'clock. And there's something. Okay, we move on. I said, please do come through if you want to react on the Prime Minister's India's Prime Minister visit to Namibia, and some of the of the issues that we highlight. So please do come through if you want to react on that. Our telephone number is 0833660091. So we'll be back after this commercial one.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
That's a nice one. Because the U in UNAM is you. No, I couldn't get the last part. That's really, really, yeah. Interesting, very, very beautiful there at the end. Nicely, you know, rhyming, you know, the rhyming was really, really interesting. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, there's an article, in yesterday's, edition of Eagle FM, of The Villager, talking about BRICS members call for UN and its Security Council reform. I'm just getting to that because of we were talking about the visit of the Prime Minister of India's Prime Minister. We talked about that our President was also talking about the Global South representation UN Security Councils. So. Yeah, I just feel that maybe let's look at that story. So what there was on July. On July the 6th to the 7th. To the 7th. 2025, leaders of the BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, gathered in Rio de Janeiro, for the 17th BRICS summit under the theme Strengthening a Global South Cooperation for a More Inclusive and Sustainable Governance. And the summit, which welcomed new members, Indonesia, and partner countries from Africa, like Nigeria, marked a significant moment for global governance reform with a strong call to overhaul the United Nations and its Security Council to better represent the global South nations, developing nations. So if I can put that a bit in the context, the BRICS summit is a platform for major emerging economies to challenge the current global order, which often favors wealthier nations. So with combined population of over 3 billion and really significant economic influence, BRICS is pushing for a world where developing countries, including those in Africa, have more influence. So now Namibia, as a member of the African Union a supporter of the Zwini consensus and CIRTE declaration, align with this vision. We definitely align with this vision, and that's why we had our president also, you know, strong supporting or calling for that. So now, and Zwini consensus and CIRTE declarations, this 2005 AU document, these are documents they demand at least two permanent seats and five non-permanent seats for Africa on the UN Security Council, along with veto power if it exists for other permanent members. So, no, why this is matter to you, to any one of you, and why this is matter to any one of you, why do I bore you with all this? Okay, because the reason why I bore you with all this is because global decisions, my friend, global decision impact our daily lives. So we should know what is going on. So it affect or impact our daily lives. So higher fuel prices due to conflict abroad, for example, can make it harder for many regular taxi drivers. Maybe for my friend caller, for my drive caller in Katima, for my taxi drive callers in Katima, to earn a living, it would affect him. It would affect him. It would definitely affect him to earn a living. Yeah. So trade, for example, trade barriers can hurt our fishermen in Walvis Bay or miners in the Erongo. So limited access to international loan, for example, can slow down projects like building schools in a rural Kunene. So that's why we are bored. That's why we bore you with this. Okay. So it's very important to understand that the global, any global conflict or any, you know, the global, the global decisions impact are really our daily lives, and that's why it's so important to understand what's so. So the BRICS summit focus on reform, they focus on peace, they focus on economic fairness, and that could help address these challenges. So this kind of focus, because these are really big nations and powerful nations, so they can help address these challenges, but it is not without controversy, though. So, because we hear, some powerful nations resist change. They resist change because they don't want to reduce their control. So it's not easy to give up power. So if you have been a powerful country, so you don't want, all of a sudden you cannot just say, oh, let's share the power. No, definitely not. It's not without controversy, definitely. So, as we move forward, it's not going to be easy as well. So the key issues, that comes also out of that summit, maybe that worth looking at. And also you can still read this actually story in yesterday's editions, which you should be subscribed, which I thank you. Okay. I'm clapping hands that you have subscribed. Thanks for subscribing. And those who haven't, and this is for free. The telephone number, what you need to do, as I said, it's very, very simple. All you need to do is to just send a WhatsApp message to 08 081 244 41 So send your WhatsApp email with your name and an email address. So then you're done. Then you will be receiving your villager news copies every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So yeah, do that before tomorrow so that you receive the next copy, the next published edition tomorrow. So now the BRICS leaders called for, as I said, we're looking at some of the issues that came out of that summit. One of that, the UN and Security Council reform, that the BRICS leaders called for a comprehensive reform for the UN, particularly its Security Council, to enhance representation for emerging markets and developing countries. So the Security Council, established in 1945, has five permanent members, the US, the UK, the France, the Russia, the Chinas, and with veto, veto power, and 10 non-permanent members elected for 2 years terms. So, and Africa, despite having 56% of UN General Assembly seat, 54 out of 193, hold only three non-permanent seats and no permanent ones. You know, we don't have a permanent one, a structure rooted in post a Second World War geopolitics. So now the BRICS declaration explicitly supported now greater African representation, referencing now the also referencing now the Ezuruni consensus and CIRTA declarations. So this AU document adopted in 2005, they demand that at least two permanent seats for Africa, with all privileges, including veto power, if it exists, and five non-permanent seats to reflect African population and contribution to the global peace. So we can talk peace as well. So is it only powerful nations? Is it only powerful nations that would have that authority of deciding who should have peace and who shouldn't? We have, in terms of population, Africa deserve that. So, and this is what now they, because of a large representation, we have a greater African representation in terms of population. So, yeah, no, we, our president, we has been a vocal supporter for this position, in August. And I remember in August, 2024, that's our National Assembly. UN General Assembly, not National Assembly, our foreign minister, then, Pierre Mushilenga, emphasized that reforming the Security Council, is not just for Africa. So it was not just for Africa, but to improve the UN's ability, to maintain an international security, and boost, development. That's what he said at that time. So he highlighted Namibia's historical struggle against the apartheid, and not noting the council's past failure to support our independence, underscoring why reform is a matter of justice, not a favor to Africa. So, yeah, we have been, our voice have been heard in terms of that. And the president also make, note of that with the visit of the prime ministers. So, and this push for reform could give Namibia and Africa more influence over global peace and security decisions. We want to be on the table, and we can only make an influence. You can only have an influence when you are on the table. So, and we want to be on that table. So, yeah, and strong African voice could advocate for faster responses to conflict in our region, in region like Sahel region, preventing spillover effect as happen always, like refugees crisis that strain other African countries' resources. So, being on the table, that would help. Yeah. So, but there is also a debate over the veto power. So let's hear who is knocking on my door. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah. Good evening. Good morning.
Where are you? Are you in the United States? We are saying good evening.
Oh, no. I'm in sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just speaking to my friend from other side of the world recently.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I want to contribute to the issue of BRICS and United Nations reform and so on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, this issue, if we date back to see the concern that was raised by people like the late Julius Nyerere, the late Kwame Nkrumah, this issue being emphasized over and over and over. And then we listened recently to the late Bob Mugabe.
Yeah.
Reform. We many years in and out, we came here to General Assembly, we spend a lot of money, we go back home. Simple, everything that we are saying. Now, give an example of our former Minister of Foreign Affairs, Dr. Mshirenga.
Yeah.
How do you really see the impact of Mshirenga to UN and Mugabe into UN? If somebody, you know, I'm sorry to compare this to like animal.
That's okay.
If it
makes sense, it's all right.
Yeah. A puppy barking on you, and you see a pit bull barking on you, where will you draw the line to biscuit?
Of course, with the bull, with the pit bull. Yeah.
Obvious. This is Mugabe, Muyerere, and so on. These people have been talking. United Nations, I was just shocked recently when I see the Secretary General Guterres standing together with the Secretary of State, United States of America,
yeah,
at the time of Joe Biden, in the issue regarding the issue of Sudan, yeah, Sudan,
yeah,
when the general pick up arms fighting each other. They stand together, and then this is the United Nations and the United States Secretary of General. They stand together. Come out, they are trying to find a solution. How come United Nations and the Secretary with the Secretary of the United States? Are they standing at one position? And then if United Nations are standing at the position of United States, then there's no United Nations.
Yeah.
We have only some organization that for United States.
Yeah. So it looks like there is strength in a group. There's kind of like there's a strength in the group. When you're looking at the BRICS, there is also an idea of global south. And we kind of like, within the global south, we have also other countries like India, which are actually quite a powerful nation as well, not as strong as others like China and America. But then in a group like that, we seem to make then consensus. We seem to make then a difference. Because as you said, the Mugabes and on our own, we wouldn't. So we have to kind of looking at this group, and within this group, maybe we can then, push our ideas. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course. For me now, I'm just happy that world leaders decided to come together, forming some organization like BRICS.
Yeah.
For example, you know, when I'm looking at the issue, I was looking at Mbeki and Zuma, and then when after Zuma became a president, I see BRICS emerge.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at Zuma corruption from nowhere, Kandra, and so on. All of this issue, and I look at it, so these people are hunting Zuma simply because of drawing one of African states to BRICS, to join China, Brazil, India, and Russia.
Yeah.
So the so-called superpower in the world, this organization that they found, like, if you look at United Nations, it's the same house as you look at the MAF, whatever, World Bank.
Yeah.
All these are European-dominated organizations.
Exactly, yeah.
And then if you look at United States, it's a European-dominated state.
Mm.
Look at Israel. Israel is committing committing a crime of a higher level, ethnic cleansing of Palestine in their own motherland.
Yeah.
But the United Nations are doing what? They are telling the brand, why are they learning it to Ukraine, to the hypocrisy war that are they causing there in the Eastern Europe. Then they look at the Putin to be this United Nations. I think the African Union, they just have to look at their member state and say all of us this year, we are not going to UN to attend this assembly because it's useless to us. We are benefiting nothing.
Yeah, the problem is that we have signed a lot of conventions that tied us to these bodies, you know, and maybe it's a time when we need to rethink our commitment to these world bodies and come up with different ways of looking at that, because otherwise, yeah, now they're always reminded, you know, your commitment to the group, to the institutions. Yeah,
I see Mugabe's suggestion wants to leave this what you call the criminal court of Hague.
Of Hague, yeah.
South Africa do the same. I think it's a time for us to look at those issues where the way to exit is only one door to get in and there's no door to go out.
But it looks that way because you look at the system, the things that is that the system that we use are normally tied to these bodies, whether MIF, your World Bank, even sometime when you think of the African Development Bank, these are not owned by African. It's actually owned by, you know, by American and European. So who have more shares in those? So wherever you turn, you know, you under the guide and colonial, if you said neo-colonial of this institution, if you want. So it has really to be a detour of African African and other nations that are experiencing the same thing. It has to be. Otherwise, you know, everything you use, you do, it's dictated by them.
Yeah, but now look at the Burkina Faso, look at Mali and the Niger.
Yeah,
these three states they join the hand together to come up with the development of themselves. But if you look at Burkina Faso, what we see in the social media and so on, if it happened to be true, and then you can see the difference that they make, and they are the one who associated even from this body of so-called certain. They are even associated from their own brothers, Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, and Nigeria, and all of those countries. They are associating them.
Yeah.
But now, if you can see, they are making more progress in terms of the development and infrastructure in their own country.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. Even our bodies, when you talk about SADC, ECOWAS and all that, the principle used in those bodies are dictated by the world body. So you have really, you will be hated, and you will be isolated, and you have to make the decision. That's the only way now you can improve your country or your economy and your people. Yeah.
Precisely. That's what I'm saying. You make a point now by saying that, because you know this some organizations look like an African.
Yeah.
But having outsider influence.
Exactly.
To dictate this decision making, dictating how you can run affairs of that old institution. But yet you call it an African institution. You call it like a Namibian or whatever, Southern Africa institution. But I have to, I was listening to one people fighting for Israel to be in African Union. And then in South African Foreign Affairs, they stood up and said, no, we did not invite you.
Yeah.
Why maybe to come here? And some African state are fighting for Israel to be in the chamber of the African Union. Is it Israel in an African state? No. But the guests should be invited, not invited themselves.
Yeah.
And then we see European Union, how they react in the United States, they are reacting. So which means this person is coming here as a puppet or represented, representing others.
Yeah.
And they send it to go there to see how they do. And are we now sovereignty, our faces are sovereignty like that? If it is some people are meddling in it, and then they have even audacity to dictate and feel bad. But at them today, you know,
look, we give them, the thing is that we give them those mandate. Because, say for example, we just can give an example of, like SADC, now we're talking about SADC, you know,
yeah.
How the secretariat, for example, who put money into that? Now, the other time I was talking about the African Union. Who actually fund the African Union? Even the building that in, it has a gift from China. So they haven't built it themselves. So, and who is more funding the African Union? Is actually outside body, financial body, than actually the African themselves. So okay. Then, if that's the case, who will be dictating what you need to you may have discussed.
I understand your point very well.
Yeah.
Now the question I have to what you are saying, like all of these institutions are having the source of fund, who funding it have to decide what you should do. But my question is,
yeah,
can't we afford to fund it ourselves?
So that's I mean, most countries that are in debt.
How come we have it to African Union building donated by the
Chinese? Yeah.
So we cannot afford African Union. Are we not paying some fees to be members of all this organization? I can say like United Nations. Country that they call what? There is many bodies that I can say we are part of.
Mm.
Are we not contributing any fee to those bodies?
Much of those.
It's a country like Namibia. It's a member of the United Nations. There is nothing. Members of ECOWAS. I mean SADC. There is many bodies here, and even in Southern Africa. You have SADC. We have the trading.
My friend, you'll be shocked that most of the programs that are under the SADC secretariat, for example, are probably 90% funded by foreign entities.
Custom Union, what is this, Southern Custom Union? Are we not paying anything to those accounts?
No, we do pay. We pay, you know, yeah. So, but certain programs within the SADC secretariat and definitely has been funded from donor outside.
What is their interest for them to funding our African institution?
One is that we ourselves are not able to fund those.
I don't believe that.
It's not that we are not able.
Yeah.
It's not that we are not able, but we have this, I don't know where it comes from, we have this tendency of just wanting to be, aid all the time. Eh?
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want to spend our, check for example, let's come back to our country, you know, the program,
yeah.
I'm going to give you an example of a program like AIDS and malaria and TB.
Mm-hmm.
Who funded it? We fund now that the American have stopped and other funds have stopped because of that. Now we put our money into it, but probably 85% or 90% was funded by external donors.
Yeah, but like, for example, country like Namibia, our own countries, we are here.
Yeah.
Like, you make a good example about this HIV and malaria and all this,
programs.
How much does it cost our state for us not to afford it? If you can just imagine, somebody have to tell you the money goes out of Namibia to outside the account by the money laundering and corruption, and they're talking about millions,
yeah,
hundred millions, and you want to tell me this country have no money to fund all those small? To me, it's a small portion of. Healthcare, because why I'm saying call it small, because based on the people, the number of people that we cater, we are only for 3 million. So we want to tell me 3 million Namibia, they are all HIV positive, they are all malaria affected.
Yeah.
Although they are all of higher blood pressure and so on and so on, this is smaller. No, we have money to fund for this. The institution that just have it to win. Number one, what I think the number one, what we need to do first, to look at, we have to look at our accountability, how we deal with our own finances in the country.
Yeah.
And then the whole of Africa, I think there's a body that I need to be found to control states, how they deal with their money. Because sometimes, corruption, it will just within the elite of the political parties.
Mm.
Now there's nobody hold them accountable.
Yeah, so.
The same world having this institutional like criminal court. Africa is also needed to have one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Africa needed to have one so that we can even hold accountable the people that are. If we say Rwanda is the one who have influence in the rebel in Congo, then we put Rwanda on the table by force, I like it or not.
Yeah. Listen to our leaders.
Together with the Congolese, they sit, we discuss, we iron out the issue. No, leave this issue. Then Congo, they should also use the natural resources to develop the area where the people are living in poverty.
Mm.
The same in Namibia, the same in Angola, the same in Malawi. We cannot even have the issue of Cabo Delgado in Mozambique.
Do you listen to a leader speaking, whether it's in even our country? When they speak in a position of suggestion. They don't speak in the position of power to say, this is what we're going to do and A, B, C, D. It's always, this is what should be done. This is what should be done, you know.
In the position of suggestion, not the position of decision taking.
Yeah, exactly. Not in the position of executing that this is what's going to be happening. Now they're in the position of suggesting what should have been done, what would, because even at this point in time, with our current administration, what do? We're looking at, these are the things that should have been done. But it's the same government that has been in the same position, you know.
But leaders are different. The way we have experienced the leadership of the lady Nyoma, the Wamba, the lady Hage, it's all or not the same. Everyone might be having a different agenda, ideology, the way how to run the affairs of the state. We might be having also some progress and positive.
Definitely. We do.
I'm happy that I see Mekulu having also tried to do a lot. I'm just hope to have a positive result out of his word that she put on the, yes, this is, should be done this way. We want to see the action now. We have been hoping for
many years. Every time we give people opportunity, let's hope. So I think it's a time us as well, as citizens as well, to take accountability. We also must take accountability. In a position where we find ourselves, we put ourselves in there. Because we don't take our leaders accountable, or people that are in position of decision making accountable, you know.
Okay, you have a point. Say, who is the problem? Sometimes it's you, the media. We are also sometimes portraying issue. I was listening to, are you Michael Omes?
No, I'm Michael Chavelli. Yeah.
Okay. No, a gentleman is Michael Omes in the same stadium where you are.
Yeah. Same program.
One day I will ask him a question because he was putting this Mulunga. Mr. Mulunga is trying to do what investment. I ask you a question, Mr. Michael, are you sure that what you are saying is what we should believe and what is it? Today, where is Mr. Mulunga? He's in the jail.
Yeah, well, we only, I would, to defend
sometimes
Michael.
Sometimes the media, they are also misleading the nation with the information that they give.
Yeah.
And then also the media, they're also having a role to play to know that what is happening, they are telling us is what is really happening. If the media is not independent, there is bias. If they see that if this Mr. Who is not at our favor politically and so on, we let us ravishing him, and then who is what we speak good about a person. Those things are, it is also misleading, and then also live in the country.
Yeah, and okay, we're actually getting off, we are out of the time now. And it's what you're saying is unethical, if a person is actually doing something like this, unethical. And, maybe to come to our defense also in what you're saying is also true, but, it's also that sometimes the media also work with what they have. You dig and dig and you're not getting information, and you only give what you actually got. So we actually come to the end.
To conclusion, I will say, sometimes we cannot watch our deadline in the public. To the conclusion of issue of Africa, they need to stand on themselves, and then we need just to boycott or even quit the whole of European institution that are biased against Africa. They are just there as a cosmetic to brainwashing us. They are not standing for our interests. Therefore, we need to quit the African Union. We need to quit all of this have to do with white people, because they are racist institutions, just like the church. Thank you very much.
And you're most welcome. All right. Thanks for coming through.
Okay.
All right. And my dear listeners, and that just brings us to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day. So we wish we had all the times, but time doesn't wait for anyone. So, let me leave you in the hands, capable hands of my colleague, coming up with Mind the Gap, with Helmet, coming up with Mind the Gap. You know, until tomorrow, I'm saying goodbye and have a very good day ahead. Until then, tomorrow, bye bye.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.